right. Well, good morning. What a beautiful day it is, and thank you all so much for joining us this morning. We have some great news to share with the people of Iowa. I want to thank Mike Fitzgerald, the treasurer of the state, for being with us this morning. We're going to set the record straight once and for all about the state budget. If you are an Iowan who is concerned about the state being responsible with our tax dollars, today is a very big day and a very good one. This is the day when we close the books on the fiscal year that ended on July 1st. And we are here to announce that we closed the year with a total budget surplus of $754 million. This is the second highest ending balance in a decade. This includes $335 million in the ending balance, and the rest of the money is in cash reserves. As you know, it's been a long and difficult road to get to this point. We reorganized government, we cut salaries, we froze travel, we offered early retirement, and we made budget cuts so that we could maintain a balanced budget and a surplus. The ending balance actually beat revenues that were estimated by the Revenue Estimating Council last fall by more than $200 million. The rate at which our revenues are going up means that Iowans and our economy have good news in terms of the future. We are not only adhering to the 99% spending limit, but we are actually only spending 97% of revenues projected for this year. So we're 2% below what the law requires us to do in terms of our spending limits. This is great news if you're looking for a job or hoping to change jobs or to buy a house or a car in the next year. I want Iowans to know that no other topic has occupied as much of our time and thought over the past year as the budget. I just believe so fundamentally in the idea of paying our bills on time, keeping the budget balanced, and being honest with Iowans about your tax dollars and how they're being spent. Throughout this difficult year, the image I've held in my mind was this day when I could have the chance to announce to Iowans that we have weathered the storm and we are well positioned to lead our nation out of our recession and onto our path of recovery. So today I'm proud of what we have accomplished in creating this surplus. The issue of truth in budgeting is important because of my opponent in this race. Terry Branstad has been dishonest with Iowans about his practices with respect to the budget and ours. He is simply not telling the truth. Today I'm calling on Terry Branstad and others who have been dishonest about our budget, and we're asking them to come clean and to tell the truth. The budget of the state is balanced, and it has a cash reserve, no matter what they might be saying on the other side. Branstad needs to acknowledge that we have a surplus and that not one dime is having anything to do with state debt. We have three bonding agencies that have given us all a AAA bond rating, which means we have some of the best credit in America. This isn't campaign rhetoric, this is the truth, and it shows that we have proven results. We have governed wisely, and we have been transparent in the process. That is quite a contrast to Terry Branstad's record on the budget, where he failed to balance 12 budgets in a row, according to the Republican auditor at the time, Dick Johnson, producing massive deficits and forcing the state to borrow $3 billion for short-term bonds at high interest rates just to keep the lights on and to keep checks from bouncing. This is not rhetoric, it's the record, and you can look it up. I will continue to lead our state forward into the future, to tell the truth to Iowans and govern with our working families in mind, in good times and in bad. Terry Branstad reminds me of the slick Wall Street operators who made people believe there would be big money returns every year right up until their lives collapsed around the crash in 2008. It's wrong to promise people something you know you cannot deliver on. And Branstad's promise to balance the budget are just smoke and mirrors. He says that he wants to cut the budget by 15% and give $60 million in big tax cuts to out-of-state corporations and hold the line on property taxes. It's not the truth, and he knows better. So I'm asking voters to get the facts, to look at the fine print, to look at the record, to ask about return on investment, and to look behind the big promises before handing every dime of our state's tax money to Terry Branstad. With that, I'd like to introduce Mike Fitzgerald, our treasurer, for some comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Governor. Thanks, all of you, for being here today. I was very delighted, though not surprised, to hear from the Department of Management yesterday that we had closed the books for the year 2010, and we had over $335 million surplus, and we already had $420 million in our savings account. So as the governor said, going into next year, we have $754 million to work with. That's really good news for Iowans. Iowans have been led to believe we have a mess. We have a deficit. We don't. The next time somebody tells you that, ask them, where's the audit? Show us an audit that ever said Iowa had a deficit. Show us the evidence. We have the money in the bank. We have surpluses and a balanced budget. That's why Moody's gives us a AAA, the highest rating possible. That's why Standard & Poor's gives us a AAA, the highest rating possible. That's why Fitch gives us a AAA, the highest rating possible. Only one, we're among eight states that can say that, because we have solid financials in the state, physically, conservatively managed state, and it's paying off for Iowans. Not only are the Wall Street saying it, but the financial press is saying it as well. Forbes magazine is saying it. CNN Money News is saying it. Money Magazine is saying it. Iowa is where people need to look to manage their finances. And it doesn't stop with just last year. Next year, as the governor said, we put a budget together, 97% of next year's revenue, and for the first 2 months this year, revenues are already 150 more than we expected. So you can expect more excesses next year. So Iowa's in solid financial shape. I'm glad to be here with the governor today, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to answer any questions at this time. A balanced budget. That's what's to come. Every year that any governor has been in office, there's always been a projected gap in the upcoming fiscal years. That's nothing new. It's been the case in this state since 1846. And we will balance the budget just like we have before, being smart, being conservative, and using budgeting practices and principles that make sense. There's nothing different about going into the next fiscal year than the previous fiscal years. The question is, how do you balance the budget? And we've done it year after year after year, despite all the rhetoric, despite all the gloom and doom, the false projections. The auditor has been saying for the last 3 years that we're not going to balance the budget, yet he signs his name on the audit that shows the budget is balanced. So that's what governing is all about. You make tough decisions, you put together a budget, you lead, you govern effectively, and that's precisely what our record shows. There's not been one day that I've been the governor of this state when we've had a budget that's not been balanced. And so I look forward to putting together the budget next year, just like I have in the past. Right. Well, again, it's we don't know many facts yet about what the federal government may or may not do in terms of our health care budget, our education budget. So in March, when we're required by law to put together, March and April of next year, the final budget, we'll have all of that information at the table. You know, Terry Branstad's not being honest, not only about his failure to balance the budget for more than a decade. I mean, you know, that's what we're looking for here. You can take my record of proven results, AAA bond rating, balanced budget. There's not a governor in America that I know of today that has a $750 million cash reserve and ending balance. We've gotten it done, period. Terry Branstad not only cooked the books for 12 years, he ran deficits, hundreds of millions of dollars in deficits. His books were never balanced. He has said that. Doug Gross has said that. Dick Johnson has said that. No one has said that, and no one can prove it with respect to our budget. So we have the record. He has a lot of explaining to do in terms of his inability. He didn't even follow general accounting principles for more than a decade. So we want Iowans to understand the clear choice. We have a record of results, a record of balancing the budget. Terry Branstad has run deficits. He's run projected deficits in the hundreds of millions of dollars. He bloated the size of government. He tripled the size of government. He tripled the budget. We have a smaller state budget today than when I started the job, and we have fewer state employees. No, absolutely not. That's another area where Terry Branstad's being dishonest. The state of Iowa has absolutely nothing to do with local property taxes. Those decisions are made at the local level. What Terry Branstad hasn't told you is that he signed 15 pieces of legislation to allow local government entities to raise property taxes on local residents. ChetCulver.com will show you the 15 examples of where Terry Branstad raised, passed, and signed legislation to allow local government entities to raise property taxes. And in addition to that, he has proposed a $2.5 billion property tax increase this campaign. He is going to increase the size of the state budget by about 40% by adding new commitments to the taxpayers of Iowa. He says he's going to cut the commercial property tax rates by a third. That would cost us $2 billion over the next 5 years, $400 million in new spending a year, because we collect $1.2 billion in commercial property tax rates, commercial property tax income. So you all need to ask him, how are we going to pay for $2 billion in new spending? That, and in addition to that, he has promised to add $500 million in new spending by cutting the out-of-state corporate income taxes in half. That's $100 million per year. So he is talking about doing one of two things: raising your taxes by $2.5 billion, sales tax, income tax. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He's raised taxes 60 times. Someone's got to pay for that $2.5 billion. He has yet to tell us who's going to pay. And using his logic and the Farm Bureau's logic, that will only result then in a $2.5 billion property tax increase. It depends. We've funded, we have helped the local communities in terms of tax credits for veterans, mental health funding, federal stimulus dollars. There's a combination of things that go in to the local decision with respect to taxes. Terry Branstad's not being honest about our school districts. We had 90 school districts that reduced property taxes. 90 of them. There were about 5% that raised them. We have counties, we have more than 30 counties that reduced taxes. So not only is Terry Branstad not being honest about our record with respect to taxes, he's not being honest about the real truth out there in terms of what's happening at the local level. And those decisions are made by local officials. But Terry Branstad gave them 15 more tools when he was governor, 15 more reasons to allow them to raise property taxes higher than they were allowed to before he signed the legislation. Now, in addition to the $2.5 billion of new spending, he said he's going to cut the budget by 15%. That's another $1 billion. He's not told any reporter in this state. He's not told any hardworking man or woman in this state. He's not told one voter how he's going to do that. The only thing that he said is that he's going to take preschool away from 22,000 kids because he wants to take $90 million in preschool funds away from public preschools in 325 districts. So where is he going to cut the other $900 million? So if you take all of that combined, he's talking about $3.5 billion in either new spending or cuts. That is irresponsible. He knows he can't do it. It's wrong. He has to be honest with the people of Iowa. He's not being honest about job creation. He said in 1994 he's going to create 300,000 new jobs. He came up 260,000 short of that promise. So whether it's the budget, whether it's jobs, he's not being honest. And his record is very clear. He said in 1982, I promise not to raise your taxes at the Republican State Convention. The first bill he signed into law in 1983 was an increase in the sales tax. I mean, why should we believe anything that Terry Branstad says? With that record, he promised population would grow in every county in 1994 when he ran for re-election for his fourth term. More than half of the counties lost population. He has a record that has shown time and time again that he does not deliver on his promises. He's not been honest about our budget. He's not been honest about his budget. And Iowans are going to know the truth, if they don't know it today, by November 2nd. And I have no idea why he has not been asked and forced to answer the question of how he's going to pay for $3.5 billion of new spending or cuts. That's more than 50% of the current budget. The current budget is $5.3 billion, and he's proposing $3.5 billion in cuts and new spending. It doesn't add up. You know, Terry Branstad's not being honest. He knows he can't do what he's proposing, and he knows that his record is a miserable one when, in terms of failing to honor the promises that he's made. And it's been irresponsible and wrong for Terry Branstad to mislead people on our budget. We have AAA, $750 million. We've managed effectively during challenging times, something Terry Branstad has never been able to do, by the way. And we're gonna keep this great state moving forward. And I thank the men and women who have joined us today. These men and women are working on construction projects right here in Des Moines, and our investments in infrastructure have allowed us to keep our economy moving, creating thousands of good-paying jobs, and allowing Iowa to outpace America right now in terms of economic growth. We're gonna hold on to it. We're going to be very smart with it. We're going to balance the budget with it next year. We're expecting more gain. Our revenues are picking up every month. They're coming in much higher than they were projected. And we're going to be in a very strong position, but it's going to require tough decisions, leadership. We're going to have to be lean and efficient in terms of how we use those resources, just like we've been to get to this point. It wasn't an accident that we're here today with a $750 million surplus. It happened because the treasurer and I and other Democrats in the legislature have been focused on being conservative with taxpayer money, making tough decisions, and investing in important priorities like preschool for 22,000 kids, healthcare, education. And we will continue to reflect those Iowa values when it comes to budgeting in the future.
Go ahead, Mike.
That's correct. And that's a matter of public record, and it's, you know, I can't say exactly the amount, but it's $3 to $4 billion of short-term funds that were borrowed so we could pay school districts and pay our bills on time.
Something we've not done once.
And the state of Iowa's done borrowing throughout the years. You know, the underground storage tank program, we borrowed $140 some million. The fiber optic network, we borrowed well over $100 million. So there's been a lot of projects the state borrows money for. And borrowing money is not a bad thing. Businesses borrow all the time. It's what you invest them in. And here in Iowa, they're investing in infrastructure projects, Veterans Home in Marshalltown, prisons, things the state needs. And at these low interest rates and with our great credit rating, we get money very cheaply, and that we're able to make investments for the future and put people back to work.
Thank you all for coming out.